Well, this is an interview with Chris Riley on the 24th of January. Chris, thank you for seeing me today. I don't want to take too much of your time. I appreciate you giving it to me. As I said in the email requesting the interview, I'm developing a story about how the working relationships between the mayor and the council members and the city manager in connection with how the city council works together to develop public policies. One thing that stands out in my mind is that four of the council members, including yourself, are pretty transparent in how you spend your time on council duties by posting your calendars online on the website, on the city website. Have you any idea why council members, the other council members, Mayor and Mike and Cheryl don't publish their calendars?
I haven't talked with them about it, and so I can't.
Okay.
I just don't know. I don't think it was really a common practice previously.
It seems like the four of y'all that were elected in 08 and 09 are the ones that are keeping the calendars.
Right.
Cheryl and Mike were elected in 06.
Right.
They don't. And of course, the mayor was elected in 09, but he doesn't keep them either.
Right. Maybe it was a matter of when you were first running that it was more of an issue.
Yeah,
when we were first running, it was more of an issue because we had been through the whole controversy.
How did it come up?
Well, do you remember the controversy? Well, surely you remember the controversy over Prop 2.
Actually, I was out of the loop on some of that.
On the propositions about Props 1 and 2, about governmental openness and accountability.
I'm sorry, could you speak up a little?
Propositions 1 and
2. I'm sorry. Okay,
there was a controversy over Propositions 1 and 2 and that were related to governmental openness, transparency, a few years back.
Okay.
And there was a lot of talk then about trying to be more open and accountable, and especially getting more stuff online. And I think those of us who ran more recently were, hey, come on in, Harvey. So I think that, can you give us just the air conditioning guy? Ken Martin.
Ken Martin.
That's right.
Everything okay?
Yeah, up there. I'm going to check yours. And
okay,
the
great.
Do you have a key for that?
It's open. I think that door should be. If not, you can go around this way.
Right.
I think I need to change my...
I'm sorry.
Yeah, it's okay. I need to change my screen settings real quick just so I can see. This is I just got a new app for my recording, and
there's an app you can download for that?
I'm sorry?
There's an app you can download for that? Recording stuff? An app? You just downloaded
an
app for that?
I've got... couple of them.
That's great.
And I'm trying out a new one. The one I was using was a little more complicated, and Rebecca found this one yesterday. A couple of days ago, she had to go to a meeting with this new leadership group for the ALBA, mm-hmm. and found it, and it worked really well. It seemed a little simpler, and it syncs up with the Mac, whereas the other program didn't. It was very complicated. Mm-hmm. Anyway, something that caught my eye is that the published calendars indicate council members and the mayor spend considerable effort meeting with each other, typically in the days right before city council meetings. It seems like all of you are making a big effort and taking the time for all those meetings. What sort of things do you discuss at the meetings?
Typically, we talk about anything that we are working on together. There are a lot of resolutions. Every council agenda, you'll see resolutions that two or three of us sponsor, and so we have to, talk to each other about those at some point. The other thing is those agendas, those are long agendas, and there's a lot of stuff on them. And so a substantial part of those one-on-ones involves just going over the agendas and saying what's caught our eye, what we're concerned about. Have you looked at this? Have you looked at that? If there's asking about things that our colleagues might know more about than we do, if there's something involving... firefighters, then I may ask Mike, since Mike has a pretty in-depth knowledge about firefighters. I'll say, so what's this about? Can you help me understand that?
Right.
Just to get educated, get up to speed on things. A lot of those items on those agendas are just
a lot of what?
A lot of those items are not things that get a lot of attention. They're things that involve the minutiae of state government, or rather, minutiae of city government. And
you don't want to go to the
city. No. They involve the minutiae of city government, and especially for someone like me who's new at it, it's very helpful to be able to glean from my colleagues what they think about items on the agenda. So that's the main thing. It's just to get up to speed on what we're considering.
Okay.
And share information about those items.
Well, you may have already answered the next question. What are the mayor and council members trying to accomplish in these round robin meetings?
For me, it's a matter of just getting better educated about the items that we have to consider. That's the principal reason for those meetings. Then an additional purpose is to visit with anyone with whom I'm working on a particular matter. If I'm going to be trying to get a resolution on next week with a co-sponsor, then I might visit with that co-sponsor about what we want to include in the resolution, for instance. And then, you know, that's the sometimes they're just in whatever else happens to be going on, you know, that's just a time for us to catch up, you know, sometimes we don't, that's the one time that we have to sit down and visit with each other. Even, I mean, it could have to do with just purely personal things. It could just, it's just a matter of staying in touch with each other.
Okay. Are these meetings completely private, just the office holders, or do the aides attend, maybe to take
notes? Typically just they call them one-on-ones, and typically they are just one-on-one.
I'm sorry?
We call them one-on-ones, and typically they are just one-on-one. It's unusual for it to be, for there to be people other than the council members in there. Unusual for there to be people other than the council members in
there. Okay. Yeah. Do you personally take notes about your conversations with the council members and the mayor?
I usually walk into those meetings carrying an agenda and a highlighter, and I might scrawl some notes on the agenda, but usually not. Going over the agenda, and then sometimes I'll take if there's. If there's some item where I'm working with another council member on the wording of a resolution, then I might take that resolution with me just to be able to talk about it.
Do these private discussions help you make up your mind about the position you will take on the things you're discussing?
It doesn't usually get to the point of making a decision about it. It's usually more a matter of getting educated about it. You won't typically hear somebody saying, I don't come out of those having made up my mind on any particular item. I come out of those meetings having a better feel for them.
Do you think that your counterparts that you're meeting with, do you get the sense that they're making up their mind? Or, I mean, it's got to help with the decision-making process.
Sure, absolutely. But, you know, part of what makes council weeks stressful is that there's a lot going on. Things are in motion. And often, especially on difficult things, you're in the process of deciding what you're going to do. And certainly... conversations with colleagues are helpful about that, but most of what we have to talk about is not necessarily all that controversial. Most of it is just more mundane things on that agenda that we just have to get a better handle for.
You said most of the things are not controversial, but of course there are big controversial issues to come up.
Sure.
Do these meetings help you reach, you know, some understanding with the others about controversial topics?
And reach some understanding.
Yeah, reach some understanding, you know, of where you might be headed on a particular issue. I mean, obviously, you probably long ago quit talking about water treatment plant four because everybody knows where everybody stands. Nobody's budging.
That's not something we have to talk about.
So there's no point in talking about it.
Right.
You know, but there might be something coming down the pike. You know, that's a big issue. I can imagine what the day's front page above the full banner story and mayor going to take the seventh time out for single member districts or some variation on that. You know, some at large, some single member districts. I can imagine when that comes, you know, down the pike, there will be some discussions about that. So, you know, those are the kinds of big issues that.
I mean, the thing is, the high profile things like that, we've already talked to death. I mean, we've already been. I don't think any of us are still making up our minds about single member districts. Those of us who had to run, having had to run just 2 years ago, every forum, every campaign event we went to, we were asked about our position on single member districts. That our positions are already very well established, and so that's not an item that we would need to spend time on in a one-on-one.
Okay,
because it's just not. That's not a difficult issue.
Well,
for me.
Well, I picked a bad example.
It actually is a good example because the higher profile, high controversy, higher profile controversial things are not ones that we need a lot of discussion on because we already know those. At least I don't feel like that's not what I get out of those meetings because that's not typically something that I'm in need of getting up to speed on. The harder things for me are the other items on the agenda, things that don't get as much attention that I'm not as conversant with.
Right.
And that's why those one-on-ones are very helpful to me.
It's like something that comes up out of somebody else's subcommittee or something, I guess.
Exactly.
Okay.
Yeah. So especially I'm not on the Public Health and Human Services Committee or the Audit and Finance Committee or the Judicial Committee, and so often,
right.
And if talking with a member on one of those committees will be very helpful in getting to understand the matters that they dealt with.
Okay. Well, would you say you generally reach a meeting of the minds or some kind of agreement about where other council members stand on issues that you've discussed, again, accepting Water Treatment Plant 4 as an example?
I would say generally not. I mean, I think I do get a sense of what other people are looking at, but I'm not going in there to reach any kind of agreement. I mean, I guess we'll often share thoughts about how we're looking at something, but there's no aim of
share thoughts about what
about how we're looking at different issues. You don't typically go into those meetings and come out with you never come out with any kind of a agreement. Yeah, that's not what those meetings are about. Those are about sharing information. They're not about securing agreements.
Okay. Well, you get a sense of where people are headed on a given issue, though. After you've made the rounds, you've talked to the mayor and all the other council members, you have to have some sense of, you know.
It's not necessarily the same things you talk about in each one-on-one, though. I mean, you've got, I might talk with Mike about some firefighter item, but that doesn't mean I need to talk with everybody else about it. And everybody on the we're one of three cities in the country, along with Seattle.
What?
We're one of three. As the article in the paper pointed out, we're along with Seattle and Detroit. We are one of three cities in the country where all members are elected at large,
right.
And we only have seven members. There is a lot on our plate, and there's a lot to get to understand, and.
You're all like at large and what?
We represent the whole city,
right?
And so there is a lot to get to know, and inevitably what happens is that different council members develop different areas of focus, different areas that they have a special expertise. You know,
right.
like the easiest example is Mike with the firefighters, issues that relate, and so. But you know, lately, Randy has been very involved in social service contracts. We have an RFP out for social service contracts. So if there's something, and so she has a lot of interest and expertise in that. So when I go to my one-on-one with Randy, if there's an issue related to social services, then that's a good thing to talk with her about.
Okay.
But I wouldn't necessarily talk to my other talk to everybody else about that.
Right.
If there's an issue that relates to Waller Creek or homelessness, then I would talk to Cheryl about that. But I wouldn't necessarily talk to all the others about it. So you don't...
I got you now. I see where you're going. I understand now. Well, Mike Martinez, when I interviewed him last Thursday, said it's rare that someone votes differently than was understood in these one-on-one meetings. And Brian Rogers says you told him the same thing. We already know how we're going to vote on Thursday, except Bill is sometimes the wild card. That's when you met with him on the 28th of December at the Austin Java House?
Mm-hmm. I did.
Is that what you told him?
I don't remember saying exactly that. I can see, I mean, yeah, I wouldn't have made a comment about a colleague like that to a member of the press, but...
Brian's a civic activist, and he gets around, mm-hmm. and of course he's thinking about running. I think the questions that he told me he asked you, like, you know, what's your day like, are you having any fun... Mm-hmm. And you said no.
No, I did not say no.
I'm not going to report that. Okay, the thing I'm homing in on is he was just trying to get familiar.
He wanted to get a feel
what it might be like if I ran and I got elected. Might this change the majority?
And,
you know, would I have?
No, and one question that he asked me was, "Can you just show up on Thursdays?" And I was trying to convey to him there is a lot more than just showing up on Thursdays.
Right, right.
That, and particularly, I mean. Council weeks tend to be busy, and one thing that makes them busy is we do typically have meetings that week. Not with we meet with a lot of people who are interested in items on the agenda.
Oh no, I see your calendars. Yep. I'm fully aware of what you're doing. Calendars.
So
I know what you're doing if your calendars are accurate.
So I was trying to.
Let's get back to the question I asked you. Brian says that's what you told him. We already know how we're going to vote on Thursday, except for Bill. He's a wild card. Did you or did you not say that to him?
I don't remember the context of what I was saying. I don't know. On the vast majority of items on the agenda, no, I don't know how people are going to vote on Thursday. On the high-profile items, like Water Treatment Plant 4, we do typically know. We have, I mean... Things have been established, but I mean, on the agenda with the 100 items on it, I can't tell you how all my colleagues are going to vote on those. Typically, a lot of those will go on consent, but sometimes, I mean, you know, let me just give you one example. When I remember when we had the, when we were doing the turkey trot this year.
The turkey trot was
a big deal, and there was an item on the agenda to waive some rules because it was an unusual route this year because the Aggie game was in town. It was an unusual race. We had to waive the normal rules on street closures to allow this unusual route. The mayor voted against that. At the council meeting, and I had no idea that he was going to vote against that. We hadn't talked about that item. I was very familiar with the turkey trot, and I didn't feel a need to ask him about it because I had been dealing with that issue. That's not one where I needed to pick his brain on it. So anyway, with respect to Brian, the comment that I talked about with Brian, we must have been talking about some particular issue.
Okay.
On bigger issues than I would expect, we would generally know. About what to expect from each other, but on the more routine things, we wouldn't necessarily talk about all those.
Okay, that's fair. When you get to the council meetings and listen to what citizens are saying about the issues you previously discussed in these private meetings, do you sometimes hear new information that causes you to change your position?
Let me think about that. I'm always listening to what people are saying, and could you state your question? Do I frequently?
No, I didn't state a frequency. I just said, do you sometimes? hear new information that causes you to get a change of position?
I guess, yes, I would say sometimes I do. I'm trying to think of a situation where my vote has gone from one thing to another.
I'm sorry, would you?
I'm trying to recall a specific time when my vote has actually shifted during the meeting. I know there have been cases like that. I would say they're unusual. I do try to get up to speed and get a feel for each issue before the council meeting. We do get a lot of input. I can show. Well, I don't have that up right now. But I have a, for every council meeting, I have email subfolders set up for every
you have to do what?
I have email subfolders set up for all
subfolders.
Okay. Subfolders set up for all of the. For all the different items on the agenda that we're hearing from people about.
Okay.
And so I get a lot of those emails, and I consider those. So by the time you get to the council meeting, you're generally hearing, the things you're hearing at the council meeting are things you've generally heard from the emails leading up to the council meeting.
I guess.
And
yeah.
So I would say it's unusual to be surprised by what you hear in a council meeting. That's why it's a difficult question.
Yeah, I got you now. That's great. Got you. Thanks. Sometime around mid-year last year, 2010, meetings with the mayor were changed from one-on-ones to pairing with two council members to meet with Lee. And I'm a little hazy because I looked at those about a week ago, and it's like, it seemed to me like on your calendar, I consistently saw you meeting with the mayor for an hour every Tuesday practically, you know, pretty regularly on Tuesday. Tuesday morning around 10 or something like that.
It shifted to an hour, I can't remember, a couple months ago. I can't remember exactly when that was, but yes, we shifted to an hour.
Well, the thing about it is, were those hours shared with another council?
Yes, that was the
idea.
Okay,
well, you're not reflecting that on your calendar. That's what's confusing me.
And I,
because when I look at some of your other accounts, whoever you're paired with, who are you paired with on those?
Usually Randy.
Usually Randy, right. And on Randy, she puts down two-on-one, you know, or you know, meet Chris and I meet with the mayor, something
that
I was.
But see, that, the thing is that... That
that's
was,
why
that was,
that's why I was confused.
That was at least,
you're not reflecting
and
someone
should,
else's presence.
I should do that. I mean, the thing is, that was Lee's at Lee's initiative, and I still have my regular one-on-ones with Randy. It's in the mayor's office. But you're right. I should indicate that it's going to be. At the time that we started doing it, I wasn't clear on whether it was always going to be Randy or whether we were going to rotate. Because
so
this was,
sometimes you weren't sure who you were going to be paired with, or if you were.
I didn't know exactly what the mayor had in mind. All I knew was he was. I did know that he wanted to shift it to a full hour and do two on one. So I put it on my calendar. Okay, my one on one with Lee will now be an hour. But that that was the change I made. But I didn't. It didn't cause me to change my regular one with Randy.
And as it
has turned out, it's just been. It's just me and Randy, I think. I don't think there have been...
Well, sometimes people, my observation on calendars that are posted, to the extent that I've had the opportunity to study them off very thoroughly, is that most of the time they're paired with the same people. It shifts sometimes, but, you know, the routine is that this is my party mate.
Mm-hmm.
Well, why do you think why did Lee do that?
Why did he make that shift?
Yeah.
I thought it was I liked the idea, frankly. It because when you've got a long agenda to cover and only half an hour, it seemed very superficial. And plus with Lee, there was a lot to talk about that about you know. scheduling things, about all sorts of city business, including stuff that's not on the agenda. Sometimes he and I will cover for each other at different public events, and so we can talk about those events. So it's nice. It's nice to have the full hour. By the time you get through all this other stuff.
Now this one, I want to go underneath. I don't have to do it now.
Okay, so you're going to need to get under.
Yeah, if you want to clear it today, sometime later.
Okay.
I can come back tomorrow.
Okay.
Because it looks like it's a little low on refrigerant.
Okay.
I want to make sure there might be a leak under there.
Okay. Okay, I'll clear it out. I'll clear it out tonight.
I don't have to do it now.
Okay.
It's surviving right now. So.
Okay, I'll clear
I'll call
it out.
You later.
Okay. Yes. Okay. Thanks, Harvey.
Okay, you were talking about you like being paired up. Well, what do you think Lee was trying to accomplish by pairing you?
Being able to go into more depth on the agenda and have just a more I can't speak for what Lee was.
I'm going to ask him. I have an appointment with himself then.
What's that?
The door's still unlocked.
Okay, sure. Great. I can't speak for what Lee had in mind. I can say.
I just thought maybe you said this is why I'm doing it at some point.
And my impression was that he thought that with everything else we had to talk about, that everything was just too compressed in half an hour. It was just too rushed. It's nice going in there when you have a whole hour because it's just a lot more relaxed.
Right.
We're not feeling as pressed. We can relax and have a pleasant conversation.
Okay, that's fair. You think maybe this is, you don't know exactly what he had in mind. You have an impression. Do you think that maybe he wanted to have 201 so that he could reach maybe some kind of a consensus before you go into the council meetings?
I don't think that's what he was looking for. Our conversations don't typically get to that point. It's more of a, it is helpful to have three people in the room kicking around ideas, but I don't get the impression that there's an effort to achieve consensus with a majority of the council beyond just getting a better understanding of how we're viewing the different items on the agenda.
There's something rattling around in my head to follow up on that. I think I lost it. Okay. Well, but basically, there's a whole lot of meeting going on. A lot of round robins, And so, which leads me to ask, do council meetings need to be orchestrated like this? I mean, that you guys are so much into talking with each other that you pretty much, sense where things might be headed. I mean, and I think that's orchestrating the council meeting to some extent. I mean, I realize that everybody needs to know as much as they can about the agenda, and I can see the benefit of talking to colleagues about areas they're more experienced, have more expertise in than you do, but it still seems like, from an outside viewpoint, from, me, I think that it just seems orchestrated. I mean, it's like you go into the council meeting, everybody's pretty much grooving. You said, you got your email, you're getting all that input, so you don't much hear a surprise. But in terms of where the council might go on any given agenda item, it seems like, there's just not a whole lot of surprises.
But the thing is, there are. I mean, that if you look at the last council meeting, the vote on the Bradford-Nora House, I don't think any of us knew that there was going to be a 4-3 vote on the Bradford-Nora House. I certainly didn't. I was surprised by that. I thought I frankly didn't know
that was just a thorny issue that won't go away.
I know.
What did you vote anyway? I lost track.
I voted in support.
I mean, what did the council vote?
We actually we voted 4-3 in support of historic designation.
Oh boy!
It's going to take a supermajority. It's going to take 6.
I read it in fact, but I forgot. Yeah,
right.
y'all only did it on first reading, right?
That's right.
Yeah,
that's right.
So you have to come back.
So we'll have to come back. But I didn't. I frankly did not expect that. I didn't think there was that much support.
Well, unless two people shift their, you have to sit in these 6 for super, right? So then two people have to go the other way.
But the point is, I didn't come out. I had one-on-ones with all my colleagues, but I had no idea that it was going to be.
Did y'all talk about that in the
We often talked, we talked about, well, actually, I did talk about it with Bill, but didn't know how he was going to vote. I did not talk about it. The only other person I recall talking about it with was Randy, because Randy has devoted a lot of time and energy to that case. And she knows a lot about it. She can tell you exactly about the whole background. See, but that case was been going on long before long before I was a council member. And so it was very helpful to get her perspective on it. And she told me the whole history and who's living there and just her take on the whole case. But I didn't. At the time I talked with her, I didn't know how I was going to vote. I thought I knew how she was going to vote.
Was she part of the 4-4?
No, she was against it.
Is that right?
Yeah. But I didn't. I honestly did not know how that was going to go. I mean, that's pretty typical. To me, that council meeting was not orchestrated at all. We were listening to everybody and making up our minds, and the deliberations on that case were actually done right there at the council meeting. You saw them. The public participated in it, and the fact that I was better educated through talking with especially Randy about it. I don't see how that undermines the public interest in open government.
Okay. Have you ever had second thoughts about engaging in these kinds of private meetings among council members to discuss public business?
If I thought that we were working towards actual decision-making behind closed doors, then I would. But that's never been the case. So no, I haven't had second thoughts about it. Because I've seen it as a very important way of getting educated about the agenda. It is not, I've been through the required training. I'm very familiar with the Open Meetings Act, and I understand the rules that govern us. And if I thought this were an improper attempt to circumvent the Open Meetings Act, then of course I would have difficulties with it. But that has never been my impression. I see this as just a way of getting educated about the city's business, which to me serves the public interest and is consistent with the requirements of the Open Meetings Act.
I didn't hear that last sentence.
To me, that serves the public interest and is consistent with the requirements of the Open Meetings Act.
Okay. Have you ever been provided, aside from the training you have to take, which is watching that DVD, that the state puts out?
It's actually on. It's online. I just watched.
It's online. But I mean, that's the only thing that you have to. That's the only training that you're required to take. I have a copy of the letter that Toby Fitrell put out in July of 2006, shortly before the act was going to change to actually require office holders to take this training. It says you got to do this by such and such a date. You got to do this. You got to do that. You got to get certification. And told you basically how to apply for all that. And so aside from that, guidance that you have to take that, watch that video. Is there any other training that you, you have to answer the door?
Yeah, give me just 1 second.
Okay, we're right towards the bottom here.
Okay, okay.
Chris is letting some people in the door. Okay, as I was saying, aside from that, watching that online video, have you been given any written guidance or any oral guidance or any lessons by anyone on the city staff? Or?
Oh, I've been involved with...
And I'm not talking about ethics training, you know, right. Like John Steiner might give or something like that.
John Steiner's done open meetings training as well.
Okay.
And I've been dealing with the Open Meetings Act ever since I was a first-year law student. I worked at the opinion committee at the Attorney General's office, which dealt with open meetings and open records. And then
you worked in where in the
at the opinion committee.
And
if that's in fact, if you the video that you see on the Attorney General's website, that was prepared by the opinions committee. They're the ones that was prepared by the opinions committee.
Right, right.
They're the ones who deal with the
open meetings. How long did you work there?
1 year.
Uh-huh.
And so I've been fairly familiar with the act ever since then. And then having served on a lot of city boards and commissions, we had. We often had trainings on Open Meetings Act requirements.
Okay.
And then, just as a refresher, last night I did watch the video again, just as a reminder. I saw the exact same video that I saw 2 years ago. Well, a year
didn't
and
change
ago.
Any, huh?
That, no, it's not.
Well, I don't need to if the act hasn't changed.
Right.
Maybe it'll be changed this year. Who knows? You know, I've associated with the. Freedom of Information Foundation, I joined it, and I find them extremely beneficial. I went to their annual meeting, I guess it was last August. Just amazing, you know,
yeah.
The resources that are out there. And the,
yeah.
They have panels discussing problems, and they put you in touch with volunteer attorneys that
yeah.
help the media to answer questions. And, you know, I know that they're going to be seeking some changes, but with everything else going on this year,
yeah.
who knows what's
yeah.
going to happen.
Yeah.
Okay, so you were talking about you had John Steiner present something. Was that as a council member or as a board and commissioner?
As a board and commissioner member.
Okay.
Yeah.
So have you received anything in writing from the city?
Not that I recall.
Okay.
I mean that. Well. Yeah, not that I recall.
Okay. Have you ever considered that these meetings? Well, you've already said if you thought they would violate the act that you wouldn't do it, right?
Right.
So
right.
I guess that answers that question already. Well, that's all my questions.
Okay.
And do you have anything you'd like to add about any of this?
I would just say I understand there's a balance to be drawn between. Government I better not even say that. All we can do is follow the law. We could just
that's
stay.
That's all anybody wants.
Well, we could stay holed up in our offices and never talk to one another. I don't think that.
I'm sorry.
We could stay holed up in our offices and never talk to one another, and I don't think that would serve the public's interest. In the past, complaints about the council being a seven-headed hydra that we were all just off on our own. We weren't working together. There was no communication, no coordination whatsoever. I would say we're trying to. One of the strengths of this council is we're trying to work together on significant initiatives like homelessness and Waller Creek and the redevelopment of the Capitol complex. And those
significant issues like homelessness,
right?
And what else?
Waller Creek, and the redevelopment of the Capitol complex,
and the
rebidding of social service contracts. to undertake major initiatives like that requires some degree of cooperation among council members, and that requires us to communicate. And so I think that having some degree of communication, one-on-one communication, is really essential to governing effectively.
Okay. Anything else?
No, that's it.
Okay. I appreciate it that we ran a little over.
Yeah.
But.
Well, that's okay. I hope you make